Welcome to Free Refills Podcast, where we come together as youth leaders to discuss the realities of leading in youth ministry. Our hope is that you leave refreshed, refueled, and re-energized to carry on in your ministry. My name is Wayne Morgan. I work with the National Network of Youth Ministries, and my friend Johnny Radcliffe also does too. So, Johnny, how you doing in Philadelphia?
Well, let me just say this. It's a meme going around. It's probably every part of the country, but Pennsylvania has it where it says, like, you're in, even though it's technically spring, you're in third winter right here, coming yeah. right off of the fake summer. I miss my 70-degree weather. I'm not going to lie. And I'm a cold weather guy, but I'm done. I'm just done. I'm done. So bring me some sunshine. I'm ready for spring, for baseball, all of it. So it is with anticipation that I look towards the future. Enough whining about the weather. How are you, Wayne?
Man, it is spring here in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm just a little farther north yet. I had a full whiteout conditions yesterday, and springtime, you can get anything. So I had 2 inches of snow yesterday afternoon, and now it's completely gone, but still is in the 20s and the wind is blowing. So it's just variety. God has designed this season for our variety for us.
Convincing. Variety. That is the most pastoral spin I have ever heard. Look at the versatility of God's canvas
of creation.
we're getting snow in spring. Awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you stay positive for the both of us then.
I'll try. It's that seven in me where I'm constantly looking for more adventure. So,
well, if you're looking for adventure, there's really no greater adventure than sharing your faith. Wouldn't you agree, Wayne?
Man, it is a challenge, and there's some things you need to overcome, not only for teenagers, but probably for us as leaders too, as we help people share their faith.
Bottom line here, I am a recovering people pleaser. So talking to people about things that may not be received well or may turn tense, not exactly an area I thrive in. So when it comes to evangelism, like most people, or a lot of people at least, I need some help with the evangelism conversation. And I especially need help with that conversation when relaying it to students. I'm sure there are a lot of people listening that feel the same way. And the good news is that we've aligned ourselves with a bunch of smart smarties across the nation who are adept at just such a thing. In fact, the two that we're talking to today, Wayne, I think they're pretty good at this topic.
Yeah, they really are. I've heard and run into both of them in different contexts, and I'm excited to hear the podcast recording.
And I tell you what, because it is a heftier interview and there's just so many beautiful, juicy nuggets of just morsels of goodness in there, we're going to jump right to it. So here we go. We're going to hear from Pauline and Gerard. Well, it is my privilege to be joined with two youth leaders here that have a heart for a special topic that we're talking about today. And how about this? I'm going to allow you both to introduce yourselves. Tell us about your context. Pauline, I would love for you to go first. Let's hear it.
Hey, everybody. I'm Pauline Ebert. I've been in youth ministry for about 8 years now. I'm the youth pastor at Fusion Community Church in upstate New York. That's Cobleville, New York. And I just absolutely love seeing students come alive with the gospel and living that out.
Love it. Thank you very much. So upstate New York, is that as cold as it sounds?
It is, absolutely. But right. This winter has been a little bit more mild, so.
Well, that's good. All right, before we move on from that, what's the most amount of snow you've seen in one shot?
Ooh, like 36 inches or so. I mean, but we're just outside that snow belt where they get dumped down in like in Buffalo and stuff. So yeah, no, not
wow.
too bad.
Okay, well, I mean, that's a yard. 36 inches is a yard. I know that much math. That's a lot of snow. That's awesome. I like snow too. But then we are also joined with Gerard, and I'd love for you to just tell the people what you're up to.
I'm Gerard Gunter, based out of Memphis, Tennessee. Been in youth ministry about 10 years and lead a ministry called Riot Starter and equipping and developing urban leaders through gospel movements and evangelism. So Man, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I love it. And I'm glad you said that because today's topic, we are talking about evangelism. We can give it a whole bunch of fancy names. We can talk about sharing your faith, spreading the gospel, whatever the term is. We're here to talk about just letting the good news of Jesus out. And I gotta ask the question. I mean, nowadays, as we have teens who are in their schools, as they're living out their faith, I mean, aren't we at a point where, like, sharing your faith is not really accepted? Isn't this something that, we should just kind of stay in our own bubble and just stay to ourselves? What do you guys think about that?
I think about, the book of Acts, and you have everyone like just being bold with their faith, and the Spirit comes upon them, and many are added to their numbers. And, and in 1 Corinthians, they speak about how God chooses the foolish to shame the wise, the weak to shame the strong, and the lowly and despised things to nullify that are, so that no one may boast. And, we have an incredible opportunity here, and so as students are just empowered and released. I mean, heck, we give 16-year-olds keys to a 4,000-pound machine that can go over 100 miles an hour, right? And we trust them with that out on the roads, and we can't trust them with the gospel. So I really feel that the Holy Spirit, we need to trust the Holy Spirit more as leaders. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our youth, because it's the youth that have the connections to the generation that they're in. They have the influence unlike any other generation before us. And so we have to allow the Spirit to move and not put too many boundaries and keep them in a box.
Absolutely agree. I love that. And that's a good analogy. We trust him with a car. Can we trust him with the gospel? I'm sure there are some that will feel they're not ready or, oh, it's too soon. What if they say the wrong thing? What would you say to those people, Gerard?
I think along the same lines of Pauline, I think oftentimes, as believers, we forget that, this is not just something that, is an add-on to our faith. Like, this is a mission. Like we are commissioned to share, one, to create disciples, but you can't create disciples without evangelizing. And so I think the reality of it is we've forgotten to present this to students as, hey, like, this is the mission. This is the co-mission. God has asked us to be a part of what he wants to do in the earth, what he wants to do in the land. And so when you begin to present it as more than just this ministry, this organizational attendance thing, and to say, no, like, this is about a mission, and we want to equip you to go do that mission. And I think I was speaking to some young adults actually last night, and I was asking them around these kind of same questions, and one of them said, "Well, I think this generation feels that, man, I'm doing enough, right? I'm doing enough in my relationship with Jesus. Like, I listen to my worship music or whatever that is, right? I'm saying, I go to church, I do my devotional, and so my relationship with Jesus, we good, right? But that whole Sermon on the Mount was about more than enough, right? Not just enough. It was about, he was setting the standard for his people that, hey, if they ask you to walk 1 mile, I want you to go above and beyond that, right? I'm calling us to more. And so this idea of sharing our faith is not just like, or following Jesus is not just about being in the building or attendance. Like, we're on a mission to impact the whole world, including your friend circle. So I think that's oftentimes what we forget. We forget that this is not only a call to gather and to be in community, but it's also a mission for those that will never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I love how you said that right there. And Pauline used a word that pops up all over the book of Acts, the word bold. And it's, man, and sometimes you even have to ask yourself, is it Is it something that we're under challenging our students with
Oh, yeah.
to and maybe it's our fears being projected onto them, right? Like maybe it's our lack of faith, our lack of boldness, our lack of commitment to the mission that we're actually projecting onto them and stunting their faith. And a quick story that I have towards that, I was at Dare to Share. Oh, I want to say 2010 in Chicago. And during the conference, you know, it's all about getting you trained up and ready to do evangelism, but then like actually do it. There was one part of the conference where they just stopped everything and they're like, "You all have cell phones. You're gonna call people." And like
Let's do it.
internally, as a youth pastor, I started freaking out. I was like, "What if my students don't do it? What if they think this is lame?" I had this own little like internal insecurity, but I was just like, all right, they said it, so we're gonna do it. You're like, all right, get the phones out, let's go. But there was this one girl who was calling someone, and they were like both in tears, just like crying, her and the other person on the other side of it. It was just such a reminder to me that, wow, like when you do something bold, God rewards it. And if we just kind of stay in our own little cocoon, we're not going to see big movements of God. So it was just a little thing. I felt so much conviction because I was like, man, like I was trying in my mind, I wanted to give them an out and to really just, you know, skate by. But I'm so glad that she pushed through and had that incredible encounter. So, man, like that boldness thing is so big.
That reminds me of in David, right? Saul was trying to get David to say, hey, David's like, yo, I'm gonna go fight this guy. But Saul's like, no. Like you might be too small. Well, if you're not gonna do that, then just take my armor and we're always and he was trying to project his fear of this giant onto Dave. And Dave was like, yo, homie, I've been ready for this. Like I'm good. I wanna do this. And I think the reality of it is sometimes as leaders, this generation is not afraid of anything, right? But we're placing our fears, our inconsistencies onto them because it's something that we're not personally doing in our own life. And I think David was a clear by saying, he said, hey, listen, when the lion would take the lamb in his mouth, I would go inside the lion's mouth and retrieve the lamb. So yeah, man, I think you're right. There's sometimes leaders are not challenging or not pushing students or encouraging students to share their faith simply because of their own inadequacy or their own fears.
Yeah, I think to Gerard's point, like one of the biggest things that we can do to help our students to really live boldly and to live the life that God has called us to live is to actually take a look in the mirror first. You know, are we not taking the opportunity in the checkout line to be kind and patient to others around us? Are we not taking the opportunity to pray with random people as we're, you know, inspired to by the Spirit? You know, and if you're not acting on the prompting of God in your own heart of to share the gospel, how can we ask other people to do the same? So first we have to really seriously take a look in the mirror and do an evaluation, right? Of what is it that I need to do to really truly step out and lead the way, to lead the cause for Christ. And so in the midst of this, we can more strongly lead our students by example, and we can share our failures. We can be completely vulnerable with students, and they'll realize like, okay, so it's not an always stellar landing of the plane. Like, you know, you're not going to share the gospel with people, you're not going to pray with people, and they're going to be completely receptive all the time. But when we start to share our vulnerabilities, we start to share opportunities that we took that maybe flopped, then they're more encouraged. Like, well, if she got denied, then it's okay if I get denied too. You know, if someone doesn't want to talk to me about this or I get shut down, it's okay. And we can encourage and inspire our students, and we can build up that resiliency and the perseverance to truly be bold for Christ.
That's so good. There were two thoughts that came to mind as you were talking there. Like, absolutely, number one, the caught is more than taught type mentality. Did I get that right? Caught is more, things are caught more than taught. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. But the idea of, man, like if I'm there in front of a group of people just sharing, having a conversation, or, man, like if they can hear my heart for my neighbors, for my coworkers, things like that, it's gonna register. And if they don't hear it, it may not come across their radar. So that's so good. So that was the first thing I came that as you were thinking, it was like, man, like modeling it is gotta be so important for this to stick. Like you really gotta embody it. The second thing is this, as you're talking about rejection, like I'm gonna be honest, like I don't like rejection. I got a fear of rejection. And even just yesterday, as I was reading in John, how Jesus would share stuff and they wouldn't even believe him. Like some people did, right? You know what I mean? Like Jesus shares the gospel and some people receive it and some don't. Well, we know it's not a reflection on him and his delivery method and who he is, because he's Jesus, he's kind of perfect. So if he can get rejected, then I guess it's okay if I can get rejected, right? Like, kind of takes the pressure off. So what I would love to hear is, as far as students that are experiencing this and living it, every now and then I get stories of little movements of, it just takes one person to really like get on fire for their school, or and all of a sudden, there's like 40 kids that are meeting together, or one person just has that chance to share the faith, and there's this trickle down effect. Have you both heard any stories similar to this in the context that you're in?
Yeah, we've heard a lot of stories like that. No, I think, like you said, it does take one person, right? It doesn't take again, using David. David was a clear example. Like the Israelites were hiding when Goliath was, out there yelling obscenities about God. They were literally hot, but it took David to say, "Yo, I'm gonna go fight this guy." And after he wins, everybody else comes out to go, kill the Philistines. So it does take one person to make a move. But we've seen that, in our context, in Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis has a challenge, just like any other major inner city, but we have our challenges. And so I can speak my daughter. She is man, just really excited about Jesus and what it means to her personally. And her school few last year, three lockdowns of gun threats right there in her school. And of course, our ministry is about, man, we want to create another response to answer the issues that are in our city. And so I said, "Hey, what are you guys gonna do? Like, there's three gun threats. Your school has been locked down three times in one year. Like, I think there needs to be a response." And so, I go to some of her friends that are in the school because they all go to our youth ministry. And hey, man, here's like, we need to start like a gospel training club, not just Bible study. That's dope, but we need to begin to train students in what the gospel is. And so, I give it to this student. She goes and tries to get a club started, drags her feet on it. Long story short, when I go back to the student and say, "Hey, when are we going to start this club?" And she said, "Well, our principal got to do this, and we got to find a sponsor, and we got to find a class, and all this stuff." And later that night, my daughter comes to me and says, "Dad, you never asked me to do it." And I'm like, "Yo, like that, you're right. I never asked you to do it." But I know my kid. My kid's all over the place, right? And so I say, "Hey, you want to start this club?" She says, "Yeah." So within a week, I give her the proposal. Within a week, she's found the principal, she's found a teacher, she's found a classroom, and she's giving me a budget for lemonade and pizza for the whole group, right? So that night, we're talking about, I'm excited. I'm talking strategy, like, hey, what if we started this? Wait, maybe we should wait till after a spring break, or maybe we should do this. Like, what kind of lessons do you want to do?" And she says, "Daddy, stop. If you're scared, say you're scared, right? Because you said that we can start a riot." And so, sure enough, man, that next That next Wednesday, man, students are showing up to that class, to her club, to be trained in the gospel. And we every Wednesday after that, over 40 something students are showing up every Wednesday to be trained in the gospel in a public school in Memphis, Tennessee. So it just took one person that was saying, "Yo, I'll do this." And now, man, she's rocking, man. She's at University of Memphis this year, and so I'm starting some crazy stuff out there. So it takes one person. It doesn't take a whole bunch of people.
Oh my word, that is so good. That is, I mean, that's got to be a proud dad moment for sure, right? Like, holy cow.
Yeah, man. I mean, really, honestly, I was a scared dad. Like, man, I know how mean high schoolers can be. Like, we all know, especially when you're trying to start something new. And so I was just trying to figure out what's the best way. She was like, "Yo, what do we wait?" Again, placing my fears onto her, right? And she's like, "No, I'm ready for this. Like, just give me the proposal and let me just go do this, right?" And I just think that that's what it is. Like, this generation, and Pauline knows, I really believe this. Like, this generation don't need passion. Like, they got that. They just need permission. Like, give it to them and just get out of the way, and they'll do this, right? Give your students the permission to share the gospel, model it, and get out of the way. Like, they'll go do it. They'll go do it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have our deepest moments where we grow in our faith is when we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And so, like with Gerard with his daughter, he's trying to give her strategy and stuff, and she's like, "Yo, get out of the way, right? Like, just let me do this." So she's getting an opportunity. So one of the things I like to say with our leaders on our team is give them an opportunity to meet Jesus, to encounter Jesus, and get out of the way. And we could do this by just inspiring them. It can be as simple as doing an outreach in your youth ministry. It can be as simple as starting a school club. Where it's gospel training, we're training up other students in how to share their faith. It could be something like Dare to Share's Lead the Cause, a week-long intensive training out in Denver, Colorado every year, or one of those Lead the Cause locals that are coming around. So there's one in the Northeast in August. All of these are designed to really place students out in the midst of people who don't know Jesus and turn the heat up a little bit of like, okay, take out your phone, call your friend, send a letter, write a text message, put a social media post, challenge, have a vision to reach more people with the hope of Jesus Christ and keep giving them opportunities to have to lean in and pray. One particular student I think of, we were at Lead the Cause in Denver, Colorado, a couple years ago, and we were at a mall. And here's an opportunity. He's with a male youth leader and another student. And so the two of them are at the mall. This kid goes rogue. He decides to go into a lid store and he's just looking at a baseball cap, right? And so he's talking to the guy about what style, what sports, and they get into a casual conversation about like the sports teams and things, and they're going back and forth on that. Next thing you know, he's talking about, yeah, I'm out here because of this Lead the Cause event, and we're just talking to people about their faith and things. And he takes out an app, the Life in 6 Words app, and he goes through the gospel acronym of what the gospel spells out. And he goes, "Does this make sense?" And he goes, "Yeah, you know, actually, I've been thinking about going back to church." So they start having a gospel conversation right there using everything that he was trained on. And the guy says, "Yes, I want to give my trust over to Jesus. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And he goes, "Cool, wait right here." He goes out to his leader. He goes, "Hey, so I just shared the gospel with this guy in Lids, and he put his faith and trust in Jesus, but could you help me? Because I don't know how to pray." So we're going back to, we don't have to worry about whether or not they get everything in order, if they get everything perfect, if they get everything right. We gotta stop trying to be the quarterback and actually let them toss the ball and run the plays. We need to be there on the sidelines as a coach to help them when they get stuck or in those moments where they feel vulnerable or they don't feel quite equipped, and then encourage them and come alongside of them. So that leader came in, and the four of them huddled together. They prayed, and then they were talking about their GPS being local churches and sharing different things. So really, truly, we just have to give them opportunities and lead the way and get out of the way.
That's so good. I love that, man. Just leading the people in the middle of lids. That's what it's about. That's so good. So as we're shutting this thing down, I imagine there are people listening to this and just like, just with that heart aching, like, God, we want to see this in our group. You know, maybe there's even a leader here who's like, yeah, but I just don't, maybe they feel like they've tried, and maybe they feel like, it just hasn't caught on. Maybe they feel like, man, I don't have any kids who are bold enough who want to take that risk. In our final question here, would you be able to just speak to that leader that says, I want this for my group, but I feel like it's just not happening? What would you both, what kind of advice would you offer for that?
You know, I would say two things to that leader, especially the leader that says, hey, I tried it and it just hadn't caught on at my, what I know in church sometimes, like, we don't lack strategy, we just lack consistency, right? During the pandemic, I saw this movie called, I never seen this movie, it's called The Field of Dreams, and I never seen it, but he kept saying, like, if you build it, like, they will come, and I'm just like, Why does he keep saying this? And apparently, if you've never seen it, because they like there's some baseball ghosts that are gonna come play on this field or whatever if he builds this. And so I'm like, this is a weird movie, but I never saw it. And so here it is. He kept saying, if you build, they will come. And I was just like, yo, that's not true. Cause I've built a lot of things and students have not come to it, right? Mm-hmm. But what I find that if we plant our flag and stay, they will come. Right. If we say, listen, I'm not going to stop until every student hears the gospel. I'm not going to stop until we begin to do the thing that God has called us to do. I've seen when you put this in the hands of young people, like, it will happen. Right. But we got to be consistent and we cannot come off of it. The second thing I would say to that leader is, man, we have the most evangelistic opportunity that we've ever had. Than ever before, right? People, whether we know it or not, they're ready. They're ready for hope. They're ready for truth, right? And I mean, you think about it, the millennials, many of y'all, everybody, we've heard all the statistics. Millennials left the church. Well, if that's true, the millennials are had babies, and their kids are Generation Alpha, right? So if they left church, then their kids are not even prioritizing church. So when you say come to church, they're like, what do you mean come to church? But we have our students that are in church. Let's mobilize them to go to a generation that so desperately needs to hear the gospel. In Matthew 9, Jesus says, they look like sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. We know what that means. If you saw a sheep without a shepherd, you know it was not when, if, it was when that sheep was going to be destroyed, right? And so essentially, youth pastor, we have to mobilize our students, because without the gospel, it's not like if. Like, these students have no chance of making it in this culture, right? Mm. And so we got to see the urgency of mobilizing. The greatest resource that we have right now is our young people mobilized with the truth of the gospel. And mobilize for Jesus Christ. So yeah, I would say, yeah, man, plant your flag. Like, don't move until that gets into the heart of your ministry or your students. It's not if you build it, they will come. Man, if you stay, they will come. They will do this. And then lastly, man, we have the opportunity to go out because they need it, man. Without the gospel, man, this generation is not going to make it.
Pauline, what last advice would you have to this worker who is feeling the same way?
Just stay the course. Everything that Gerard just said is pure gold. Stay the course. Absolutely. And, there are so many resources out there. There's a national network of youth ministries to get connected with youth leaders who are currently activated and doing this, and they're seeing it flourish. They're seeing this, student disciples making disciples. And that's something that we want to see. We want to see students everywhere hearing the gospel from a friend. And that's truly like the litmus test of a student really understanding and owning their faith and walking that out in their life. And so there are opportunities for you to engage with events that are coordinated just for this, like Dare to Share Live or Lead the Cause. And these are designed to help you and your students to be mobilized and equipped on how to design a gospel advancing ministry at your youth group and to reach your schools and community and the families within your church. So sometimes, church can be a cruise ship and we're all enjoying the ride and consumers, as consumers. And we really need to be more of that battleship, the aircraft carrier, where we're coming in, we're getting fueled up, and we're getting sent out on mission because our mission isn't stagnant. We're not just standing still and just enjoying the ride. We need to be out on mission. And so we need to be battle ready. And so we can't do it alone. We were not meant to do it alone. And it requires us to be networking with other youth leaders, other youth ministries, and tackling this together.
Love it. Pauline, Gerard, thank you for sharing your wisdom, your passion, and hopefully this is going to serve youth leaders all over the nation, and we're going to see some
Praise
people in
God.
heaven because of getting charged up for reaching teens with the gospel. Thank you.
Amen. Let's go.
Hey, thank you.
Man, Johnny, you weren't joking that there was a lot of information in that. So, as the interviewer, what were some of the things that jumped out to you?
Well, I tell you what, you're right. There was a ton to really, really sink your teeth into there. The looking back, one of the biggest things that really came across my mind is when Pauline shared how, when we look at the book of Acts, boldness is one of the key ingredients. I mean, you can sit and think on that for a long time, how essential boldness is. And in fact, I love when Gerard was sharing about how his daughter, she had that zinger where it was like, "Dad, if you're scared, just say it." Like, oh man, I was scared for her too, but she wasn't. And that boldness is such a great ingredient. And listen, we can sit here and make excuses for young people. We can try and craft our ministry to make them comfortable, but they're not going to have a great, versatile faith in Jesus unless they're putting it into action and just sharing their faith and going for it. So sometimes it's us adults who need to get out of the way and just let them at it.
And I mean, even for us as leaders, like it's an insecure space sometimes to start sharing our faith. Like we can expect our students, we like, hey, they're younger, so they're going to get excited about things, so they're naturally going to do it. But the reality is we've got to share and lead by our example. And sometimes we get comfortable. Sometimes we get into a space where oh, a conversation about evangelism, that's sticky, that's ugly, it just makes us feel uncomfortable. And instead of doing something is really, it's a command, right? Jesus said, go in all the world and not just passively do a conversation about our faith, but to actually engage with somebody for the purpose of sharing our faith. That's a very uncomfortable thing for many leaders. So I think it's important for us to recognize that there's a lot of leaders out there who do have an insecurity about sharing their faith. And so, like if you're one of those people that this conversation about evangelism is very uncomfortable, you're not alone. And that's why we do appreciate the Dare to Share team. They do so well giving tools and resources to help articulate for those of us who really have a hurdle with sharing our faith articulately and having good resources around that.
Absolutely. And for the rest of our time on this, instead of really rehashing the interview we just had, what we really want to do is spell out three resources that can be incredibly helpful for you if you're saying, I want to grow in this. I want to allow my students to grow in this. There are three resources. And the first one is the Gospelize book. Wayne, what is the Gospelize book?
Well, it's Greg Steer's book to help you take the gospel and make it a part of your youth ministry, more than just an event that you take students to. There are a lot of events, a lot of trainings, but how do you make gospel sharing a central part of what you do and not just an add-on? It's not one of the five things you do in your youth ministry. And so it's an intentional way for you to find, are we a gospel-centered youth ministry, or maybe we have become more of a fun and game-centered youth ministry? And to be honest, there's a lot of students who want purpose. And so giving them a purpose and helping really define what your youth ministry is about is life-giving. So if you haven't read the book, Gospelize, easy read, and it's worth investigating just to help assess, hey, are we really focusing on gospel sharing, or are we looking at something that, or have we allowed other things to be the primary function of what we do as a youth group?
And I think if you read the words of Greg Steer, you're going to catch that boldness. It's just going to kind of naturally transfer over the fire. And so the first thing is the Gospelize book. The second thing I can really speak to is the Life in Six Words app. So maybe you grew up and you remember your Sunday school teacher drawing out the gospel where you have the two cliffs and, you know, you can't get across, and then you draw the cross in the middle and Jesus makes the bridge. Maybe you've been taught to share the gospel that way. Here's the bottom line. Visuals are helpful. They're important. And Life in Six Words is a way that your teens have an app that just have six words, six pictures, and they're able to tell the gospel story through those prompts. It also gives a visual to the person you're sharing the gospel with, gives them something to look at, you know, maybe direct eye contact. They're like, I don't know what to do. They're looking at the phone and they're having that visual picture as well. So if you want something that is super duper tangible, definitely check that out on the website. And then the final one here, Wayne, we have Lead the Cause. Can you speak to that?
Lead the Cause is that training that I referenced a little earlier. You can take students to trainings and they're super valuable. I believe Pauline is trying to get one as the first year for it here in the Northeast, up in Albany area, Albany, New York. So if you're in the Northeast and you're listening to this podcast and you're like, man, nothing comes anywhere near me. Well, actually, there is something, and you want to check in with the Lead to Cause and even connect with Pauline, spend a week with the Dare to Share training and the Dare to Share team. Your students will walk away with a completely full bag of tools to be able to evangelize, have conversations about the gospel, and feel more confident to help launch them back in the school year.
Love it. So bottom line, we have all of the links to these resources at the bottom of all of the places that this is being shown. More than anything, we would love for you to click this, explore the website, start a conversation and start a connection with a resource or the ministry Dare to Share, because they're going to help you really help your teens, right? Like they're going to help your teens share their faith. Yep. And there are stories that are just out there of teens who caught fire, to the point where sometimes in youth ministry, it just feels like we're pushing the boulder uphill, and it takes so much effort to just get an inch of space in the hearts of teens. But man, sometimes just for whatever reason, unexplained to us, not because we're brilliant, God just lights a fire and teens take off. And you see the work of God in just a small pocket, to the point where it's nothing that you could conjure or make yourself. Well, I got to believe that the work of Dare to Share and these resources are something that could unlock that for you in your space.
Thanks for joining us for this Free Refills podcast. There is links and resources below. If you have any thoughts or questions, email us at freerefillspodcasts@nnym.org or podcasts@nnym.org. We want to encourage you to find a collection of youth workers that you can get coffee with so that you can share life with each other. If evangelism's hard, hey, get together with other youth workers and encourage each other. Maybe you've got other issues in ministry. That's what networking is about, collaborating encouraging one another and sharpening each other so we can continue on work. So if you enjoyed this podcast, we'd sure like it if you liked it or subscribe to it, share it with a friend. And until next time, we will see you here at the Free Refills Podcast. See you later, guys.